should be ready by now. Well, good morning. Thank you, Lord. Kendra, did I send you anything? No? Sorry about that. Maybe there'll be no sending this morning. Well, God's good. Thank you. This is our last study on serving in the ministry helps this month. We've been studying a series, if you didn't know, about serving God. So if you would turn in your Bibles with me to Titus chapter 3 and verse 14, and then 1 Timothy 3. I'll give you the chapters and other verses later. I want to talk about learning how to serve within the church or the local church. You know, when we say church, that's a huge term. It means, you know, for some people, you know, that are not born again and they don't know about ministry. When you say church, they think about a building somewhere. Or some people think about the Catholic Church. They think about that. You know, people who don't know anything about God. But you and I, amen, you and I, when we say church, that means us. The church actually is the body of Christ. It's the people that Jesus lives inside of by the Holy Spirit. Is that clear enough? That's pretty good, isn't it? And I don't have no Greek concordance for that. Praise God, amen. I believe we're going to hear something this morning that's going to help you. And it's going to change your life. Why don't we stand and pray? And jump and holler for a few more minutes. Hallelujah. Father, we want to thank you this morning. We're so privileged to be in your body. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for washing us with the blood of Jesus. And we clear out our hearts, our minds today. We just say, Lord, forgive us for if there's anything that we might have brought in with us that might be harmful to our spirituality. And we thank you, Jesus, that you forgive all our sins. You don't remember all the sins that we have done. You said that you would put them in the sea of forgetfulness, in the sea of forgetfulness, and that you will never remember them anymore. So thank you. If you forget about them, so why should I forget, think about them? So thank you. And if they ever brought up, we know who's going to bring those up. It's going to be the accuser. And so we don't listen to him. So thank you this morning that we're standing here cleansed by the blood of Jesus, forgiven. Hallelujah. And we're ready to serve you, Lord. Hallelujah. We're ready to serve your needs, whatever you need in the church. And we love this church. We love the church at large. We love you, Jesus. Loving the church is loving you. You said, if you love me, do what I say. So we know that love is demonstrative. Love is doing something. Love is not a feeling, and it's maybe a small aspect of it. We know, Father, but we know that when we serve you, we do get a feeling, and we thank you for that, and we praise you that we're obedient to your word. Oh, hallelujah! You're so wonderful, Jesus. Thank you as we celebrate you, Lord. We thank you, and we thank you for Holy Spirit that's so evident here. We thank you for Him sending Him in our hearts. And help us to learn. In Jesus' name, anybody said amen and amen. I sense the Holy Ghost in this room. Ready to jump up and down. I so appreciate the helpers, the workers that are working in the church. Without them, we couldn't do anything. We'd be hampered. Learning how to serve in the church. Learning how to help. We call for helpers once in a while, and sometimes people come and they try to get involved and they have their own agenda. You know, they feel that they have to get into some kind of spiritual intercession to figure out what they should do in the church. And so they get all spiritual. And they pray and they try to find out what God wants them to do, but all the time God already told them what to do. And there's nobody in this room that can say, you know, well, I don't know what to do. You know what to do. There's nobody here that says, I don't have anything to do. You got lots to do. So I want to show you in the scripture, not just me. I'm a vessel. God told me, showed me these things, and I'm a vessel to help you find out the plan of God. You know, one day you will stand before Jesus for sure. 1 Corinthians, I believe it's 2 Corinthians 5, talks about it there, that we will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And 1 Corinthians 14 says we'll kneel, we'll stand before Jesus and give account of our lives. And he'll ask you, what did you do for me? You'll have to give that account. And so it's not a scary thing, but it kind of is a scary thing because you will have to give account. If you don't give me account or somebody else, your brother, you know, there's a song written by a man. He's a good songwriter, sort of a good singer, too. His name is Bob Dylan. Anybody know what Bob Dylan? Who Bob Dylan was? If you're in the 60s, how many are born in the 60s? Well, nobody, one man was brave enough to lift his hand. One guy over there, I was born in the 50s, you know, La Bamba. That's when I was born. And so, you know, anyway, I forget what I was going to say. But anyway, in the 60s, there's a guy, he wrote a song just, I guess, in the 80s, I think, maybe. It was called, You Gotta Serve Somebody. It may be the devil, it may be the Lord. You should learn that song in this church. All right. Okay, did you find a third chapter of Titus? I'm still waiting for you. Hallelujah. I was, went around, took my daughter to a business place by the college there, went for coffee, get coffee over in the drive-through, and a lady heard my voice. Oh, how are you? I said, fine. I went up to the window and she says, oh, I love your chicken jokes. I said, fine, it's good, okay. Praise God. And I thank God for meeting people that actually relate to that. Not too many people. Some people get mad, you know. So Titus 3, 14. How many of you got that? Okay, if you don't get it, look at the screen. It says here, our people must learn what? To do good. How? By meeting urgent needs of others, then they will not be unproductive. There's a lot in that scripture that he's talking about Titus here. Paul is writing to a Titus. Titus is a pastor of a local church. He's the head of the church there. And he's urging one man, to rally up the troops to get the people to meet needs, to learn to meet needs. A lot of people sometimes they think it's, there's two things about serving God. First of all, we have to understand that there is a ministry called the Helps Ministry. 1 Corinthians 12:28 says in there, you know, that word is put between some very supernatural gala of ministers, miracles, and healings. And then they stuck that word in there, helps ministry. Everybody say helps ministry.
Help.
Everybody say help.
Help.
So that's the helps ministry. Yeah. And so the helps ministry, what is it there for? It's to help. You know, the help ministry. And so God created the ministry, and he put an anointing on that ministry. He put his spirit on them to serve. So the helps ministry is to serve, is to give aid, is to give assistance. That's what it means. The ministry helps as means to support, to serve, to give aid, to give assistance. So my colleagues, when they start teaching, they never taught you about that. I was waiting for a definition. I like a definition when I start something, because you know what we're talking about. So I'm giving you a definition of serving, what the ministry helps us. And so, you know what we call deacons. You know what deacons are? Well, deacons are people who serve in the church. They're called to serve. The ministry helps. They're not some special group of people that boss the pastor around. Amen. So ministry helps who bosses you around is your wife. That's what you need. You got to have a wife for that. So thank God for wives, amen. They need to tell us what to do, because sometimes we don't know what to do. Go sit over there, okay. So I thank God for my wife. She tells me, first of all, she wants to get rid of my pudginess. She said, okay, we're gonna take a brand new, look at this here, see? Looking like some of my colleagues here. But anyway, that's good. This is good fat. Yes, it's good fat. I didn't steal any food. It was all bought and paid for. So anyway, the ministry helps us to serve. So you all of us, myself, Pastor Ken, Pastor Steve, I don't know if Pastor Steve is in there, but we're all in the ministry helps. We're all in the ministry helps. We serve one another. And that song says we got to serve somebody. You know what? If you don't know how to serve, you will learn how to serve whether you like it or not. You'll get a job and somebody will tell you what to do. So we need to learn how to serve. So it's better to learn. It's better to be obedient and to learn how to do it properly. So And there's a ministry called the Ministry Helps, or a service called Ministry Helps. And so we have to learn how to serve. We don't just come into church and just have our own agenda and tell people, this is the only area I can serve in. There's no division for that area yet. So I'm going to wait for 100 years for that ministry to pop up somewhere so I can start serving. No, there's a place already for you. You know, in First Peter 4:10, it talks about in there that every one of us has been given a grace to serve people. Everybody, let's put that scripture up there, Missy. Everybody, 1 Corinthians 4:10, let's look at that verse of scripture. Did I read the other scripture? We did. 1 Peter 4:10. I want you to know that every one of us here has the ability to serve this church right at this moment. No matter who you are, how talented you seem to think you are, some people are so good they can't help serve people. They're too proud to bend down and help somebody else. Too rich. Too educated. Too good looking. Too clean. Whatever. Everybody can serve. Let's go over here. God has given each of you a gift. God has given me, everybody say, God has given me a gift. From his great variety of spiritual gifts, use them well to serve one another. You say, I'm lost here. What do you mean? I don't know. What is my gifting? Well, you better get busy. Find out what it is. And that's why we have what we call leadership meetings in the church. Leadership training. That's for everybody who wants to learn how to serve. Everyone who wants to serve in the helps ministry. And you know how many people know There's people that are not going to church right now because they've been hurt in the service. How many people? Lift your hand if you know someone who's not in church because they don't want to go to church because they've been hurt. Lift your hand up if you know somebody that says they don't want to go to church anymore, right? For some reason. Some of you should have been lifting your hand. You didn't. I know you. You know the same people I know. And you don't lift your hands up. I mean, let's ask, like as a little thing I asked for. Lift your hand, okay? Okay, get mad at me, okay. Maybe so half the people not here, they're mad. Okay, so it says, use your gift to serve one another. So the King James says this. I wonder if you could pull up, can you pull the King James up? King James is a very interesting, it's the best Bible, I believe, the best accurate translation you can find. I use the other translations because to help people who, they can't read King James yet. Because like when I first was born again, all I read was King James, and I didn't know half the things that's reading. But spiritually, God brought some things to me, and I started learning. See, you don't have to understand everything you're learning. God will give you what you need to learn. So now it says, as every man has received the gift, even so minister the same to one another. Now, notice this, the last section of that. As good servants of the manifold grace of God. So your one gifting area can serve a multitude of kinds of ways. You know, just that one gifting, you could just go into every area of serving. And so we need to learn that your gifting is just, change your perspective a little bit. Your gifting could be used or utilized in another fashion. The reason why I said that, because people who are not in church today because they've been hurt. We put on leadership meetings once a month. We put a three-hour seminar. We don't teach for 3 hours. We get together for 3 hours, and we teach you maybe 1 hour, not even an hour. We show maybe a presentation, a video presentation. Maybe someone, one of the leaders will teach, somebody who wants to teach in the leadership. Can teach, and then we have handouts, we have role plays, we have small group discussions, we have larger group discussions, then we eat together, and then we affirm one another. It's done for a reason. We don't just say, "Well, I think it's a good idea to just affirm anybody." Who would you like to affirm today? There's a reason for it. We eat together. There's a reason why we eat together. It's not because we're just hungry. There's something about sitting down with somebody and eating together that you develop fellowship in, and you start talking together, and then, you eat one or two chips or something. You just, it feels good. There's something about eating together that makes something happen. So there's a reason behind eating together, not because we're hungry. Yes, we're hungry once in a while, but there's a reason for it. So in the leadership meetings are designed to help people understand this idea. We bring out leadership principles. We show the fact that how important leadership is, how important leading is, and what it is all about. Secondly, we give people a chance to converse together, to talk together. To share their heart, to. And then we also, on top of the training part, we give people a chance to learn about a personal relationship, interpersonal skills, or what we call people skills. How to diffuse anger. What to do with your attitude. What to do if you have an odd against somebody. What do you do when you want to give somebody feedback? How to do that properly. There's so much involved in leadership, and yet people don't see that, how important that is. I've given my life three hours a month to do that. I've been doing that since 2000. And I believe God wants me to do it. I did it, and I don't complain about it. There's a lot of times I don't want to do it. It's nice out. So I've done it. To show leadership, to show consistency, to show that I'm going to be there whether I like it or not. And so I believe that, you know, leadership is not just, you know, standing up here and, you know, playing a guitar or singing a song or prophesying. There's more to leadership, right? We know that, and yet we don't. Sometimes we forget about that. So how people show leadership. I was listening to a commentary by a hockey player. This guy, he shows leadership. Well, yeah, he shows leadership just the way he does things. You know, we watch how he plays hockey. He shows his leadership on the ice, but when he gets off the ice, man, you see how he is. He's just consistent. My wife tells me that I'm never up high with my life like that. Oh, and I'm never low. Like my wife tells me, I'm even keel. I'm even keel. So she's never afraid to come talk to me. I might get mad sometime, but I'm not gonna. You know, she knows my reaction. I'm not unpredictable. I want to say. You know, I used to be unpredictable. I was not always like this. I learned to be this way. And I don't care. When I was out there, like this guy here, I don't care how big you were. I would just go out and say what I want to say and grab something, hit you on the head. I was mentally insane that way. But I got to be to a place where I got to be even keeled. And to be personable, and I couldn't say things without swearing before, and treating people bad, and try to wait for a comeback. Today when someone insults me or criticizes me, I don't even know what to say. Because I've learned to work with people. When you learn a certain way, it's hard to change that around after. So in the ministry of helps, we're learning how to serve. How to treat people, how to be a leader, how to be a person that people can trust. Amen? And how to be a nice person. How to smile when you don't want to smile, and how to shut up when you want to say something to somebody. And how to always not to say things even if you have an opinion about something, and just to keep it in and just say, yeah, it's not my time to talk. Those are leadership things. Those are ways to help people. And learning to speak up when you need to speak up. Not just be passive and let things happen around you and tell people, no, that's not right. You know, this is the way to do it. To show leadership and not be afraid of people. Learning how to serve. It's all those things, not just, you know, let's move this table over here. Okay, let's go. We're not cavemen. We're people with minds. We have emotions. So you understand, I'm trying to do my best to show you that serving, there's an art to serving. And there's a way to serve. It's not, you know, just serving, just plunking things down. There's a way to do it, how to have an attitude with your serving with excellence. When you're serving, you show up when you're supposed to show up, and you look nice, and your attitude's all right, and you're all prayed up already. You're not going to get mad if somebody doesn't shake your hand or looks at you. It won't even bother you. Nobody to notice me. And serving is not like, you know, oh, I want everybody to notice me. Thank me. Worship me. No, you're just going to serve. You don't care who serves. God says, you know, if nobody looks at you, I'm watching you. And it's one of the hardest things for people to do, because it's really, serving is unselfish. And serving is not always popular. Because sometimes you're the only one there. And then it's hard not to complain. I tell some of my staff, listen, you know, if God told you to do it, you do it. Listen, you can be replaced. You know, as good as Pastor Ken, he's probably one of the best persons I ever had working serving with. But if he doesn't do something, somebody else will do his job.
Nathan.
I'm serious. Like, if I complain, that's why I have to be a privilege. It's a privilege for me to be a pastor. I got to treat it like, you know, it's something that God gave me. And I should take care of that area there. And be the best I can. I'm constantly, yes, my wife, I constantly study. I mean, that's what God called me to do, is to study. I'm not here to do construction. I don't feel bad. I walked down the road, those guys working on it. Oh, yeah, they're doing construction. I don't feel bad at all. That's not my area. I could pick up a lumber or something like that, but that's not my area. So I go to the office and do what I have to do visit the people, go visit the sick and lay hands on people and stuff like that. Like if I don't do that, all you have a building here. Amen? What good is a building? You don't have people. And buildings, we don't need a building to have a church. That's what I thought on the other side. I said, people say, you should buy a building. No, I don't want no building. I said, we can have a church without a building. We can go to the hotel. Why would I want to give people pressure in this church to give me money so I can buy a building? And then it's empty. Then I have to feed the church gas and put lights in there. Right? No. Thank God we do have this church. We do have the money to help to do what we're doing. And oh, by the way, you know, we took this building for $600,000. The other church didn't buy it for $600,000. They should give us for free. To take it over. Whoever thought of that? I thought about it. You know, so, you know, thank God that, you know, some ministries, you know, they closed down, they give another church. Yeah, you can have the rest. Just paid off the bills. When I started one church, I had to take over all the bills and make sure they're all paid. Then I got blamed for taking the church apart. It wasn't even me. But I didn't say anything. Just went right on. It hurt me. Yes, it hurt me. It hurt my wife as well. People started blaming me for doing things I never did. It doesn't feel good, right? So, but you can continue to go. I say, I'm going to stay home. Everybody blames me. So it does take an art. It does take training. That's why it says our people need to learn how to make urgency, learn how to serve. So it takes some time. Let me tell you something. When you're working together as a husband and wife, it takes time to work together, to get to know the person. You know, when you come in ministry, helps to work in this church, you don't have to pray and intercede at all about what to do in this church. You don't have to come and say, "Well, I got to pray about this." No, I already got it. I know what to do. I'll tell you what to do. You're called to come and support me to do what we're supposed to do. And I'm supposed to pray and seek God and find out what we're supposed to do. It's a totally different area. You're not supposed to tell me what to do. And what the vision for the church is, that's not what God told us, you know. We see this in other churches where people are trying to tell the pastor, this is what you got to do, and, you know, so on. That's not how it works. Thank God. Now, watch this. Go back to your scriptures. That's all needed to say. We need to say that because we have to make sure that people understand these things. Now, these guys here are TC guys. They don't want to tell the leadership what to do, right? Say, you know what? This is how you got to have this kind of thing going. I mean, they probably do, but you don't listen to them, right? So sometimes Pastor Ken comes and tells me, suggest something to me. It's a nice idea, but I said, you know, we're not going to do that, no. So that's not what we're supposed to do. He'd come here to help, serve. You know? In case he doesn't, I usually tell him, get in my office, Paul. Let's go sit down. He says, oh, yeah, you're right. You're the pastor. He always tells me, you're the senior pastor. I'm not doing anything. I'm just sitting here. Because when he gets, what he's doing there, he's telling himself. He tells me, he gives me all his other stuff to do. Then he tells me, okay, you're the senior pastor. You're the senior pastor. Okay. Now that we got that straight, you get to work. So we all need to learn how to, it says in there, so our people need to learn to do good by meeting good needs, learn to do good by meeting urgent needs, then they will not be unproductive. So God wants us to meet needs. We need to learn to serve. We need to meet urgent needs. We need to be unproductive. So we all need to learn how to serve or learn how to conduct ourselves in God's house. We must learn to serve in the ministry and work with all kinds of people, all kinds of personalities, serve the leadership in the church. When I went to Rhema, I didn't like Pastor Hagin's personality. I didn't go there for his personality. I went there because God told me to go there. But going there, I learned a lot about myself, about being under his leadership. Now, I love the man. I love him. He's my pastor. And sometimes if you don't like me, that's why I'm not afraid if you don't like me. Because I know if God sent you here, there's something he wants you to learn. So I don't worry about trying to be somebody I'm not. When I met my wife, I didn't try to be somebody I wasn't. Oh, I better put the Old Spice on. What about these kind of skinny jeans? She might like this tonight. How do I look? Huh? All she saw when she saw me was Jesus. What about the beard? Okay, long hair. So she. And in fact, I tell you, when she met me, she didn't like me. She thought I was arrogant. Because I said I know what I'm doing. I know what God wants me to do. Do you know what God wants you to do? She said, I don't know. I said, I do. And she held that for resentment for a while. She told me that. She said, I didn't really like you. And so after we got married, we fought for 2 years. You still don't like me, eh? Come on then. But so, we got along with 30, 31, 32 years now. We're doing good. Amen? We're a good team, praise God. Now, she tells me, I sometimes say, I don't want to preach. She said, no, you're preaching. Your wife ever tell you that too? Okay. So sometimes we have to work with people that we don't like. Okay, all right. It's true. Sometimes you don't like people, you don't like the person, the way they do things or whatever. So in the ministry helps you learn how to serve with that personality or that person or their ways. So you get to learn about yourself. When you don't like something about somebody, you learn about yourself. What is it about that person? But why does it bug you so much? Learn about yourself. Why do you feel that way? Get over it, somebody said. Learn how to get over that area. You know, and so 1 Timothy 3, 14 and 15. So training is needed in the church in order for us to serve with excellence. Training is needed in the church so that we can serve with excellence. Training is needed in the church so that we can serve with excellence. Not just any old way, just, I just got here. Where's the chair? You got a comb? Here, just make it. Make it on time. Don't you get mad at those people that they come up here 2 hours before everybody else? I've been here for 2 hours already. Eh? They interceded for at home for 2 hours. They were here already 2 hours. You know? They're walking around like you're walking like that. What's wrong? Eh? Come on now. Now it says here, Paul tells Timothy as well as Titus, there are two pastors that Paul was, you know, that's their protege. He's training these guys. Paul is their leader. You know, Paul also had leaders. He was following leaders as well. We all need protege, or at least role models. He said, I'm writing these things to you, even though I hope to be with you soon. So that if I'm delayed, you will know how you must conduct yourself in the household of God. So Paul was trying to teach people, teach these men of God, and these people were to train other people like themselves. Later on, Paul tells Timothy, you know, train other people like you so that they can do the same thing you do. And so we thank God, you know, who you are, people around you become like who you are. I sent a funny video it's a kind of a funny video of a little kid. He was swearing because the mother was very, very, to one of my staff, because I said, you know what, kids will pick up how you say things. And my daughter was working in a daycare center over here in town, and little kids come in there and they swear. And they say, oh. Where did they get that from? Well, they got that from home. And so, and the mom says, yeah, that's what dad says. That's why he says that. So we need to see, you know, leaders, people, who you are, people become who you are around you. Or you become like them, whoever you hang around with. So, Exodus chapter 18, verse 20 says, Moses, in his teaching, in his writings, it says, teach them his decrees and instructions, show them the way they are to live and how they are to behave. NIV says, Exodus 18:20. Teach them his decrees, that's and his instructions. That's the leadership principles he's talking about. You got to give people leadership scriptures from the Bible. This is what we're supposed to do. Show them, demonstrate to them, role model that, the way they should live and how they should behave. So we need to, each one of us has that responsibility as a man and woman of God to serve God, to be that leader, to show leadership. Thank God. So, how we relate to other people is so important. The kind of person you are, we have to look at ourselves and say, okay, so what kind of a person am I? Why would I want to be with me? And why would I want to be with you? If you're acting that way, why would I want to do that? So, we have to look at it that way. In fact, God wants us to look at it in that perspective. And to show you become attractive as a leader. The more attractive you are as a leader, the more people would like to want to be with you and be around you. They get something from you. You know, there's some people, like as I say, that you want to be with. You go with them somewhere for coffee or sit down with them, and you go to their home, whatever. You just get something out of them. You don't want to leave them almost when you have to go. Because you're getting something. There's something spiritual about them. There's something attractive about them. They're like a magnet. Some folks, you want to leave right away. I got to go. I got other things to do. Oh, yeah, what are you doing? I got some stuff. And they want to, you know, you have to, you want to be with them. And some people you don't want to be with. Because, you know, I mean, that's the way it is. We have to learn how to be helpers. Some people are not good helpers. The question is, are you a good helper? Do you serve well? When you're serving, how's your attitude? How's your physical appearance? Do you look good? Smell good? Do you look like you want to be there? Or are you just filling a role? Shake your hand. You know? Or do you want to go, hey? Huh? Praise God. How to relate to people. Sometimes people forget how to relate to one another when they're serving God or while they're serving God. Their methods and principles are properly relating to one another in the church. God's word teaches us various laws of serving. There are two general types of people we relate to in the church. Two general types of people we relate to in the church. Number one, leadership of the church or ministry. Leaders that are assigned to help you do that job of that area. So you have to relate to those people that are above you in leadership. Most of the time, I never get to relate to every people in here that are working in the church. I let the other leaders relate to them. So they talk to them. The only time you come to my office is if something really bad's happened. Then it's really too late, almost. That way I look at you like this for a while. Oh, Lord. You know? No, we don't do that. We just talk to you. So why can't you get along with Pastor Steve? Okay. All right, sure, he ate your lunch, so... Oh, for the seventh time, okay. Well, what about Pastor Kid? Well, he's laughing all day long. It bugs me. Thank God. At least somebody's laughing. One guy's eating lunch, the other guy's laughing. Number two, co-workers. Those people that are your colleagues who work alongside with you every day throughout the year. You have to learn how to relate to those people. So those are two general types of people that we relate to in the church. Sometimes some of them are too slow. Some of them are too fast when they do things. You can't keep up with them. Sometimes, you know, they're just, you know, just talk all the time. So you have to relate to them and tell them, listen, you know what, listen, you know, let's slow down a little bit here. You're talking too fast. I can't get a hold of what you say. Because sometimes people, they tell you everything. This is easy how to do it. You do it. And that's how you do it. And you say, okay. What's the second point again? And so they think because they've done it 1,000 times, and you walk in there, they think, you already know. What's wrong with you? You stupid? That's what you're telling them. You have to take time with people and say, listen, you know what? I realize, you know, you're not that technical. You don't say, you know, I know you're stupid. No, you say, no, let me help you out here. Because sometimes when we do things, we think everybody can do what you can do. So you have to be gracious to people. Let them give them some time. Let them show you how to do stuff. You ever notice when you call somebody, like, you know, I'm not a technical guy. I call TV Tel. They say, they tell you all these things. You know, can you go to this here? You know, go to this app, you know. Turn this on. And wait a minute. Sometimes they're nice. 1 Thessalonians 5, 12 and 15. 1 Thessalonians 5, 12 and 15. So we need to learn how to appreciate those people that work above us, or we don't understand what pressures they might be in. We don't know what's happened to them. Listen, you know, when someone comes to church and they're working, you don't know what kind of day they had. You don't know if they stayed up all night. Or their mother was sick and someone died in their family. You don't know about the financial problems they have. Their wife said they're going to leave them. And you don't know if their kids went out drinking and they're drugged up all night. You don't know that. And you're working with beside these people. Come on now. We got to learn how to serve people. Learn how to work alongside of people. Give people some slack and give them some grace. Because one day you're going to need it. And sometimes some people, it's hard. It was hard for them to join the team in the first place. And you know, if somebody's missing, you haven't seen them for years, don't say, I know you'd be back. Where have you been? Wasting all your time. And then you don't see them after a while because you open your stupid mouth. I ain't looking at anybody. Because this happened a lot of times. Just be gracious. Say, oh, just we missed you. Don't try to overdo it because you're going to fumble and you might say something that was on your heart. And you wanted to say for a long time. Did you find that? Okay, 1 Thessalonians 5:12. We beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you. Among you and over you. There's people who are going to work among you and over you that you need to relate to. He says, and admonish you and esteem them very highly in love for the work's sake. Esteem means to value them, people. Value, take value in them, what they do among you. Appreciate them. Leaders appreciate people who come and work in there. Like sometimes, you know, I tell, you know, I can't tell people what to do. They're here. They're working. I don't pay people. They don't come here. They're not forced to come here because they have to earn a living. They come here because they want to come here. They come here because they want to serve. So I can't just push people around. I say, you got to do this or God's going to kill you. We don't say that. That's not going to happen. We're the only church in town. You know, we're the church. We're just one church. We're just, you know, it might be best for you because that's where you come from. That's where you want. You should feel that way. This is the best church. You should feel that. You shouldn't feel any bad about saying, we got the best church. That's okay. But we're one of the church, somebody in another church. That's the best church for them. Because God sets every church member in the body as it pleases Him. This is, if God wants you here, this is where you're going to be. This is where you all your blessings are going to be, right here. You don't have to come here, guys, if there's no girls here for you. There'll be a girl here if God wants them to be here. It'll be here. I'm serious about it. There's a time you say, you know, there's a time in your life you say, well, you know, I don't care if I ever get married. I don't want to see a girl a mile from me. Oh, there's one coming over there. I got to go this way. No, you have to be able to say, you know what? I'm giving up to God. And I tell you the truth. I'll tell you this. That's what I was. I said, Lord, I don't care. I just want to serve you. Honest to God. God is my witness. I said, God, whatever you want from me, I'm tired of all the relationship. I tried all the relationship. I try to be what everybody wants me to be. If somebody's going to love me, he's going to love me for myself. And when somebody came along, my wife came along, I couldn't believe it. Me? You know? My wife came to me and talked to me. She says, at the university, saw me. She says, you're a lovely man. I want to marry you. No, it didn't happen that way. So, but God knows where to find you. He knows how to connect you with people. So, he says, be at peace among yourselves. So when you're working with people, make sure you have peace in your life. peace with those people. Make sure you make peace. Make sure you stay in peace. Make sure you don't have disharmony and disruptions and all that stuff. Make sure you stay in peace with people. Learn how to be that kind of person. You know, learning how to help. Number one thing, learning how to serve in ministry. Is come and do whatever they tell you to do. I don't know of any minister who's got their own ministry, an international ministry. They just went and helped someone. Like Keith Moore, is for an example. God just told him, just go help Brother Hagin. He didn't pray for Brother Hagin. He didn't say, Lord, show him what to do. You know, tell me how to serve him properly. He didn't have to ask God to give them personal revelation of how to serve their leader. No, all he had to do is, Pastor, what do you want me to do? That's all it takes. What would you like? What would you like? That's the number one thing if you want to serve in ministry is come here and say, Pastor, what would you like me to do? Well, you know what? You could help out, pass out the paperwork there in the morning. Oh, yeah, okay. That's all you have to do. You don't have any responsibility. You don't have to have any responsibility on how to figure things out in this church. See, a lot of people have it wrong. They think, you know, oh, I got to get all spiritual. I got to pray and fast and seek God and what to do here at this church. You don't have to do that. You don't have to do that. That's not your area. That's not your area. All you have to do is come, and if God says, you know, God will put it in your heart to come and serve, and then the pastor will tell you, here's what we need. That's all it is. There's nothing spiritual about it. You can check the scriptures. I'll tell you, I don't have time to show you everything right now because what I'm saying is important right now. We have to finish. Stop. We got a healing service tonight. So how can I help you? You know, well, Pastor, how can I help you tonight? Well, go get the sick. Bring somebody who's sick. You know, well, I got something else to do here. We were going to go blueberry picking. Well, okay. So two criteria for serving. The Apostle Paul trained his protege Timothy and Titus. He passed his wisdom on to them. He prepared them to serve God's plan as young ministers. And we need to be like them. Lord, make me profitable for the ministry. Help me to be profitable. How can I be such a prophet to this ministry? How can I be an asset around here? Two criterias. 2 Chronicles 12, 16 to 18. In the New International Version, David welcomed his helpers with two criterias when he welcomed those people into his ministry. He took two appropriate things, two principles, and he said this. He said, O Benjamites, 1 Chronicles 12, 16 to 18. O Benjamites and some men from Judah came to David in his stronghold. David went out to meet them and said, if you have come to me in peace to help me, I am ready for you to join me. But if you have come to betray me and my enemies when my hands are free from violence, may the God of our ancestors see and judge you. And then came the spirit upon Amaziah, chief of the 30, and said, we are yours, David. We are with you, O son of Jesse. Success, success to you. Success to those who help you, for your God will help you. So David received them and made them leaders of his raiding bands. They helped David, verse 21 and 22. They helped David against the raiding bands, for all the men were made brave warriors, and they became commanders in his army. Day after day, men came to David until he had a great army like the army of God. So we see two things in here. Number one, if you want to come and help, number one, David says, come in peace. Come in peace means you have to come with an attitude, such an attitude of gratitude when you come into an area of service. If you come in an attitude, you know what, I'm going to fix these people up, I'll show them how to serve, I'll tell the pastor what to do, I'm going to change this, I'm going to change that. And I don't like this, I don't like that. No, that's not the way to do it. You come in, you say, okay, so I'll come in peace, whatever you want me to do. But if you're going to come and bang heads with leaders and tell them what to do, yeah. Oh, okay, sure, yeah, there is, by the way, there is, you know, suggestions. You can do that. Yeah, you can suggest and, while ago somebody was suggesting something for the children's ministry. You know, we don't want to give kids sugar. Right? Well, we shouldn't. If some families don't want certain things in their family, yes, they have a right to tell you what they don't want. I thank God for that. Yeah, you should. You know? And so things like that is important to us. And we'll make the changes as we go along. You know? So there are other things that we could offer. If there's suggestions, yeah, tell your leader there. You know what? Hey, I would suggest this, I would suggest that, you know. So number one, come in peace. Number two, he says, come to help. The second thing, the two criteria for serving is number one, you come in peace, or you come with an attitude that motivates people and helps people. Secondly, come to help. In other words, you're going to come to support. You're not coming to lead or take over. You're coming to support. You're coming to assist. Nothing less, nothing more than that. That's how to help. So we need to learn how to help. And then we need to come to training sessions to learn how to have our attitude right. You know, some of you guys that miss meetings, you don't come to leadership meetings, and then you get all upset over things. Why? Because you don't come to meetings. You don't come to train yourself. You don't come to adjust your attitude. You don't come to learn new skills and how to properly relate to leaders and how to properly relate to one another. So people that get mad, I can tell people who should be here this morning are not here. And so they get to me, talk to me about different things. They say, listen, you should come to those meetings. Come to those leadership meetings. And you'll learn about the grief that happens in the church when you don't get into place. Causing a lot of grief. But we're not that much. Right? You're not that kind of a person. I know just by looking at you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So here's the thing about it. We do need to learn how to serve. It's not, you know, if you don't learn how to serve, you'll get hurt. That's the point. That's the last point. If you don't learn how to serve, you're going to get hurt or you're going to hurt somebody. Last point. If you don't know how to serve, you're going to hurt somebody or you're going to get hurt. How? By the way you behave and how you treat people and how you handle people. Are you still here? Is that good teaching or was that practical enough to you? Is that good enough for you? You know? We should learn, you know. Every one of us, no matter where we are, I tell people, listen, you know, if you come to a leadership meeting, you'll become a better executive if you have a company. You'll be a better businessman. You'll better be a better social worker, better nurse, better doctor, whoever you are. You're going to be better at it. Because this is God's word. It'll help you in every area of your life. You'll be a better dad, better mom when you come because you'll learn things. Thank God. Want to learn to serve? Then that's it right there. Hallelujah. I got lots of stuff to do, but it's 8 minutes after 12. I know there's a hockey game at 3. My team's playing at 3 for now. I got another team. You got to have more than one team in case your team gets knocked off. And my brother, he won't watch hockey after the Leafs are gone. He won't watch hockey after that. Hockey's all about the Leafs. Well, if there's only the Leafs, then where would the other teams be? Who would they play with? Can't play with Montreal all the time. They're gone. Eh? You know, sometimes we just boast about our team. We're all the same, eh? We all boast about, oh, man, we're winning. Ah, we're winning. And then when they lose, Eh? But after that, when they were winning, I had my Matthews jacket on, my Matthews, you know, we're just going, ah, we're winning 2 more minutes. And then we're going, for 2 days, throwing dirt up in the air. Ed's going to be the same thing next week. You're going to join the team. Ah. So be nice, people. Be nice. Eh? Be nice. And you know, I was watching, I watched the sharks last night. Man, they were biting last night. Yeah, they were good, eh? I like, you know, some of those teams. Like, I watch certain players that I like watching, and I just get that kick out of it. You know, my wife says, you're wasting your time. I said, no, I'm learning things about life. You know? About serving in the ministry. Everybody stand up. Yeah. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus' name. Woo. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. Praise the Lord. We're gonna close. Dominic, we want to pray with you before you leave tonight. Could you come up and your wife, Dominic's mom passed away. He's leaving for Germany, right? Germany? Yeah, praise God. Yeah. Can we get some pastors and... Oh, your mother. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry, Melanie. So, we're just going to pray with you. I'm sorry your mom didn't die. It's her mom. Yeah, I know this is a tough time. Praise God. Father, we pray for Melanie as she travels back home to say goodbye in the natural, but we know that you're going to take care of the situation and strengthen her as they travel. Give them a safe journey. May the angels of God go with them, encircle them wherever they go, and let them have a song of hope in their hearts for the people there. And they give them the idea about the resurrection life and help them to say things that would build up people and lift them up out of their oppression. We pray, Lord God, that there's hope beyond the grave. We know there's hope beyond the grave because Jesus was raised from the dead. He's the first one to be raised from the dead, and that he's not be the only one. We're all going to be raised as from the dead, and we're already raised spiritually from the dead because we've been raised up with him to sit in heavenly places. And so, Father, we bless Melanie as he travels, and Dominic, as they travel. Give them safe journey. Give them a productive time as they go. Give them a word in season, a song of praise, a song of encouragement, a word of encouragement. Strengthen them. May the grace of God go with them. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, give her strength in her heart. The grace of God to stand in a tough time. Yes, grieving is part of it. But then healing is also part of it. Thank you, Jesus. We bless you. Oh, hallelujah. In Jesus' name, amen. Glory to God. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Bless you. You know, getting ready about, you know, this week about our healing service. You know, there's a lot of people have been healed over the years. Someone asked me the other day, the Pastor Roma, he said, you know what, about 3 years ago, before we moved here in this church, I came to a healing service at Secord Street, and I was suffering greatly with these migraine headaches. He said, you know what, these migraine headaches are just not normal headaches, you know. These put you out. I was having them regularly, just really constantly, just couldn't survive, couldn't live really, you know, about that. He said, you know what, you laid hands on me. Pray for me. I've never had a migraine since that time you laid hands on me. And God did it. So you might have somebody like that. Maybe they might never come back here. And God, I'll tell you, that person's not here today. But they're going to come back tonight because they said, you know what? I want you to lay hands on me again because I'm sore somewhere else today. I got this problem. Can you pray for me? I said, yeah, you come to that meeting. We'll pray for you. It'd be a better atmosphere, and we're going to teach on a little bit something. Anointing is going to be there. So tonight, I want you to tell a few friends, phone a few people, pick somebody up. Just go and pick somebody up. Even if they're not healed, even if they didn't get healed the first time, you come bring them back again. They need to hear the word. Not only, but the anointing is here, the Holy Ghost gifts are going to operate. Last month was the best healing service we ever had for a long, long time. There was a great anointing. I expect the same thing. There's an anointing on this ministry. And we are called to pray for the sick. Not only just church, but every church. But I believe there's a special anointing on this church to do that. Every one of us can pray for the sick. God touched me with the healing power a number of years ago. But, you know, for some reason, he pulled me out of it just to do this here now. So we're going to pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you tonight for the healing service. And we also thank you for this service that about serving and helping. We thank you that people have gotten this message. I want you to close your eyes for a moment and put your hands down for a second. I'm not going to call you up, but I want to ask you something. Every eye closed. If this message this morning touched you, really impacted your life, not just, you know, it was good, but it just really did something in your life. It just did something. Just slip your hand way up high right now. I want to see that. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Anybody else? Put your hand back down. Thank you, Jesus, for those that you spoke to. And how many people here would say, Pastor, not only it didn't impact me, but it just reminded me of something, and it helped me this morning. Let's lift your hand up right up high if that's you. Help me. Yes. Thank you. Now, if there's anybody here that is not born again, you need to get saved. You don't know Jesus Christ. If that's you, I want to ask you to lift your hand up so I can pray for you. You're not born again. You're not saved. You're not sure you're saved. I'm just going to ask you one time. If not, then we'll just go to the next thing. Is there somebody here like that? You want to be saved? Anybody? Lift your hand up way high. I'm going to pray for you. Okay. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Thank you, Lord, for your salvation. For those who are not sure, that can just pray right now and say, Lord God, I thank you for sending Jesus Christ to this world to be the Savior of the world, and I make him my Lord by confessing in my heart, with my mouth, and because I believe that in my heart, that Jesus is Lord. Lord, Jesus Christ, come live in me. Be my Savior. Be my Lord. And I promise to serve you all the days of my life in Jesus' name. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, maybe you're watching, or if you're here, you are now born again. You belong to the family of God. And so, Father, I bless every person here that heard the message, that what they heard will not just be a fading word, but a word that will burn within their heart. So thank you for helping these people understand about serving. In the name of Jesus, I bless everyone. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. Go ahead. Have a good day. Thank you.